state your correct name for the record.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. And Nicholas, I must apologize. We got knee-deep into a lot of conversation. And I was negligent in keeping up with things for the peeps. So here's some information for you. We are aware that March Madness is coming very quickly, especially when we talk about the Cougs and the fact that they might have a shot to go deep into the tournament. So, as you know, we love to take part in all the festivities around March Madness. ESPN 97.5 second annual Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light Seltzer, supported by Four Roses Bourbon and Boost Mobile. We'll be giving away 97.5 prizes to the top 97.5 winners. Again, we're going to go with that half prize thing. We're going to let Courtney work that out. Did we mention it's all free? All you got to do is go to ESPN975.com and enter, and you can win prizes like gift cards to Roosters Men's Grooming, iRace Entertainment, Pitch 25, Heights Beer Garden, Holman Draft House, and much more. It's Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light Seltzer. Unquestionably good. We always have fun with the brackets.
We do.
I want some do re mi
Cougs
the last couple
all
of years.
The way. Lifelong Cougs fan for weeks now.
In our internal pool, which cost money instead of this. You this one cost you nothing.
Cougs fan or a Chiefs fan?
Which oh.
That's a man.
Both red.
Don't make me choose.
And he's a blue color guy. He loves blue.
Honest to God, it would be Cougs for real because I had an Andre Ware jersey that my mom got from him during in season when she because she's a Coug alum. She graduated from UH.
Okay.
And so she would go to a lot of the football games. She took me to some of the football games. She ended up getting me a jersey from him that he was walking off the field, took it off, gave it to her.
Please tell me.
I was like, are you trying to have sex with my mom? That was not a question, but now that I look back on it. Please tell you what?
You still have it?
No. I don't know what I did with it.
That's
the environment might be crazy,
but,
crazier in Kansas City, but the venue, the Pertita Center, is way more comfortable, in my opinion.
Agreed.
You ain't watching games in snow.
But, I mean, I was a Faislam Pajama fan.
Huh? We're talking TDECU for football.
Yeah, we're talking football. But I'm just saying in general. I mean, I came up watching Cougs stuff because of my mom. I ended up being an Aggie fan because of my dad. But I saw and watched a lot of UH football and basketball coming up.
The fact that you don't still have that jersey.
It bothers you.
Did I mention that he won the Heisman there?
Yeah,
I think that was his Heisman year, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that thing would have, bank right there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even matter nationally, Barry.
If she's listening, I'm in so much trouble.
If you got into like a Cougars Nation chat room and said, hey, I was cleaning up some stuff, and I found this game-worn Andre Ware jersey from that year he won the Heisman.
Yeah,
pretty sure you'd be doing okay if you wanted to get rid
of it. Yeah, you didn't have to bring that up. We could have just left it alone.
I'm just looking at the financial gain that you would have incurred.
No, you're still
incurred.
Going. Okay. It hurts.
Yeah.
I don't feel great about it, so whatever.
Like me saying I had the Clyde Drexler warm-up from the 92 finals. That was the only year that he could have worn it because it had a patch on it, and I spilled soda and cleaned it up with it and then just threw it out.
Yeah.
It was cool that they were giving away free bottles of water. Like, I went there on Sunday for the game, and everybody on campus, like, if you went to, like, the Pizza Hut and ordered, like, a pizza and a bottle of water, they gave you the bottle of water for free
because
of the situation.
Cool. Yeah, because of the...
Which I thought was
and
cool.
And that's better than most because a lot of restaurants either weren't opening or... They were making you buy the bottle. So that's pretty impressive for the university to do
they
that.
They even
that
allowed cool. you to bring it into Fertitta Center when normally they would not allow right. only water bottles. But yeah.
You could fill it with vodka.
Sure.
Well, I mean, damn. That's the obvious move.
Well, right. but I mean, it
tequila.
Looks like water, right?
You could do tequila too.
True. But that's the thing that I forgot, how long it took before they lifted the ban, because I went to the gym to play hoops on Saturday. And it didn't hit me, and then after a couple games, everybody normally grabs some water, and I headed towards the water machine, and all of a sudden I was like, uh-oh, the sign says we have no water. And as a gym, a health club, you would think that they would have brought in bottled water or the big jugs of water and hooked them up so that you could just get...
They did in some places on campus.
Yeah, they didn't do it at our gym. It was terrible. Guys really? Were buying Gatorade and bringing in big things of Gatorade for all of us and stuff like that. And I was like,
all about that
man,
cash.
If you're going to stay open during something like that, you got to ship in or use, you know, the Ozarka water machines or whatever and bring some water for the people.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Not at all.
That's like the people that raise gas prices during hurricanes. Or
right.
Whatnot.
Not exactly. Cool. Or airline prices when there's like a big event yeah. in your city.
Speaking of not cool, this story about Trey Adams and what he said during the combine.
And that's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So, I was like, this should be the lead story for Barry Laminack. He didn't mention it.
It's 3:05.
Literally, when I found it, I was like, oh, they got a 3:05
lead. So Trey's getting interviewed during the combine, and they asked Trey, if you could change anything about yourself, what would it be? And Trey's response was, bigger D. And that's supposed to have stayed private. No pun intended. But it did not. It got leaked. And a lot of people are actually pretty upset about the fact that young man's interview got out.
Tech Schramm, longtime scout, stuff like that, he was one that was adamant, like, that never should have gotten anywhere out of that room.
Right.
Let alone on social media. He's a, 6'6", 300-pound lineman?
6'8", 318, I think.
6'8", 318.
That is a large human being.
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, that's what he's listed as. I'm assuming he's pretty up there.
I guess that doesn't always mean, you know, that doesn't always translate that everything's large. Although, who among us, what dude is going to be like, nah, I'm good? I'm pretty sure that every dude, that would be every dude's answer at some point where you're like, yeah, I'd take a little more.
I figured one guy
No guy is like, nah, I'm all right.
Well, but here's the other thing, too.
Yeah.
How the team interprets it says a lot about the team, too. Because some people could overanalyze it and think, like, you know, his head's not in the game or that he's just not focused like he should be. And other teams could be like, I like this kid's sense of humor. That was a witty response. And that's the kind of thing that we would like to have in our organization, a guy that, you know, plays hard but doesn't take it too seriously, can get along with guys in the locker room.
My question would be, and this is probably a question for Lance, is how good of a player do they view him as?
Second-round pick?
I think you look past that if he's a second-round pick, right?
Well, I don't think it's an issue. I think it's – I mean, if he can be self-deprecating or have fun mm-hmm. with it.
Sure.
That kind of shows you what kind of teammate he might be. He's not going to get upset at rookie hazing. He's not going to get upset – if you yell at him because he's self-deprecating and he can handle it. He's one of those guys that's going to roll with the punches.
He can handle criticism.
Yeah. So I
hope it's looked at positively for the kid.
But it's unfortunate because it's supposed to be confidential. It's supposed to be something that occurs in private and only the 32 teams are allowed to see his answer.
Okay, we say that, but what was the one? It was Dez Bryant, right? That he said during the interview process, they asked if his mom was a prostitute.
Yeah.
Something like that. So it gets out. It shouldn't. Just like we had the story last week about the sheriff's deputies that had the pictures of the Kobe Bryant remains.
Yeah, that's terrible.
You never know what people are willing to do and how far they're willing to go, whether it's 15 seconds of fame or blame or money or whatever they're doing it for.
Yeah.
But I thought it was humorous.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't have a problem with it. Good on him for cracking the joke, or even if he was serious. Okay.
I mean, I feel like if I knew I'm getting drafted and I'm not knocking him, I feel like I knew I was a second round pick, or I knew I was going to get
make
drafted.
That kind of joke.
Yeah, I would totally say that because I know they would look past that. Now, if you said something more, I don't know, racist,
right?
Like way more inappropriate, like that. I mean, they hear that stuff in the locker room all the time. Joel, you know about this.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You've been, how many locker rooms have you been in? Well, Barry, how many locker rooms have you been in? Like, that kind
I've
of talk
told
happens
you
all the time.
Over and over again, and it's especially true in the NBA locker room, but it's in any locker room. If you're looking for a PC, HR friendly environment in a locker room in those settings,
good luck.
You're not going to find it.
Good luck.
No matter how hard you try, believe me, the jokes are there every day, and the ribbing and the
why do you think I miss Patrick Beverly so much? Oh, his conversations were badass.
You don't think privately Harden has taken more than a few shots from his teammates over the poopy shorts?
Oh, no doubt.
Right, right?
No doubt.
For whatever we can concoct on from people on Twitter and on this show, believe me, it's been far more intense and worse in terms of intent to harm or at least ruffle feathers in the locker room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of those things where you just, you know, I like the way the kid handled it, and it's funny because no matter, you know, if, you know, here's the other thing. Think about this. If he didn't answer it that way and he'd say, you know, I think my run blocking footwork. Now, all of a sudden, you've got that team's going to have five different video guys going right back watching his footwork going, wait, maybe he's not a second round pick. Did you see how right he is about how he handles run blocks?
Yeah, that could be too. But then do you think that some teams are like, well, was he avoiding any personal accountability by just making a joke of it?
You're right. I mean, how many teams are in the NFL? There's probably a bunch of different perspectives. Yeah. You know what I mean?
32 teams. You could look at it 32 different ways how he answered that.
Yeah.
Oh, he's avoiding owning himself and owning his flaws. Or, oh, he's making a joke of a serious question and situation. Or, oh, he doesn't take himself too serious. That's great. He's going to fit in great in our locker room. So, yeah, it's – but – I think the bottom line, it shouldn't have been leaked, regardless of what the intent of the answer was. Pretty terrible that something like that that said in confidence gets out.
But it's still humorous.
It's still humorous, and it's not that big of a deal.
He'll have a podcast before the end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah, I did one, too, and you missed it. So touche. We're rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, back with more ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. You know we like to give back to the suspects. We appreciate you so much. Being physically tough on the field is important. But being safe and mentally prepared for what's to come on and off the field is what the 2020 Texas Gridiron NFL autograph signing in camp is all about. ESPN 97.5 wants to give one lucky kid a VIP spot to join former NFL players like the Texans' own Justin Reed, a pass to participate in the camp, thanks to Gatorade and Power Media. Caller number 12, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, wins a spot for their kid to join in on the fun Monday, March the 12th at the Grand Sports Club in Spring. Participants must be between 2nd and 9th grade. So if you don't have someone, a child of your own, or someone that you'd like to send to the camp between 2nd and 9th grade, don't try and win. Otherwise, caller 12, you get a pass for one kid to be a part of that camp. Good luck.
Good luck.
Yes. Do it. Oh, by the way, this is the time and portion of the show. Well, because I'm trying to work things in. Where I remind you that if you missed any portions of today's show, go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab at the top of the page where you see The Usual Suspects. A menu will drop down. You can catch up on the first 2 hours of the show. While you're there on the front page, you can also download the app. Then you take us anywhere, everywhere. Never miss one of our shows or anybody else's show on ESPN975. Nick, ready, quick on the draw, had it, boom, and then because of it, you dropped the ball.
Yeah. Yeah, I did that on purpose. I was boycotting that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the choice is yours. And you made this. It. And there we go. I did want to throw this out. Very odd circumstances this weekend. Syracuse basketball hosting North Carolina.
Okay? Oh, I can't wait for this.
Right, and both teams kind of suck. Yeah. Right? But it's a national TV game. Courtside, Jimmy Fallon, who I guess was doing some on-court stuff with Syracuse, Julian Edelman, Tom Brady. Now, they show the guys on the sideline in the front row. You know the cameras are going to be all over them. people were actually trying to lip read, saying that Julian Edelman said he's coming back.
I kind of saw that too.
Brady shaking his head. The bigger thing is, if you're Tom Brady and you're in hiding through all of this, I get it. But why are you sitting courtside at a national TV game unless you just want people to be in your face with cameras and microphones?
Did he get upset with...
I don't think he, Well, I don't know. His look wasn't exactly pleased with Julian Edelman, but I think overall...
He's probably just thinking, well, shut up.
Yeah, at a certain point, too, they're like, you know, don't give me this. I'm trying to watch the game, and why are all these people in front of us with cameras? You know damn well.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon's there. They're not bugging his ass. They're bothering yours because you've got a free agent decision to make.
Yeah. You just wonder how much is that Edelman just giving him the business, too. Like,
right.
That's the worst thing you could say right now. Bro, why would you do that? Which, by the way, I still think he's going back.
I do, too.
I think he's just using all this as leverage. He wants to retire a Patriot.
I completely agree.
He's using all this as leverage to get the most money he can out of them.
And I think still wants them to make moves to make the team better.
You maybe have 2 years left. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to uproot and go to another city and start over where you know you're on the downside of your career? You're not going to be as loved. Even if you suck your last 2 years in New England, they love you. You're Tom frickin' Brady. You go to Tennessee or, you know, L.A. or Indianapolis, they're not going to love. They're going to be glad you're there. But the love that Boston has for him.
And that's the thing, too. We all want to forget Akeem in a Raptors jersey.
Sure.
And when you get a guy that's had his entire career with one team, I get it. You have a chance to win another. But let's also be honest. Even if he doesn't win another thing, his resume is stocked full for a couple of inductions into the Hall of Fame.
But yeah. Because of that, how much leverage has he earned based on past success? Are we talking 30s? Are we talking 40s? Because Schefter's on record saying Patrick Mahomes is getting somewhere in the ballpark of the high 40. Like, one of his years may even be 48 or 49.
He's going over 40 for sure, yeah.
So, based on, because we know the Lakers did this with Kobe Bryant, right?
Yep.
They knew he was a shell of himself, but based on past success,
felt they had to do it.
They gave him a 2-year deal. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a very similar situation.
But
I feel
then, like, he's got to be able to say that he's doing that. He's got to face the music and saying, in doing that, you completely handcuffed the team from making any improvements in free agency that would have given you a chance to win mm-hmm. one more. So there has to be a real hard conversation. Yes, he's taken less in the past so they could do more, but this is a team that we all know needs more weapons. And in order to get more weapons, you got to put cash on the table to get these guys to want to come to New England, because there's still question marks the way he finished the season as to what he still has left in the tank. But I don't think you can't have it both ways. He's either going to get the big payday and they're just going to realize they're going to suck for the final 2 years or do the best they can, or there has to be some kind of a mutual ground where you go, okay, Tom, look, even if it's like we'll give you a position after football or somehow other ways, but what's it going to take for us to be able to pay you, take care of you, get you back, but still get what you want, which is another receiver, a tight end, whatever it may be.
I mean, you've done that for so many years, though. If you're Tom Brady, you don't owe the Patriots that. At this point, I think he would love to go back because he knows the fans, he knows the situation, the city, and everything. But I also do believe if the Patriots aren't willing to at least entertain what he could get on the open market, at this point, you've got a finite amount of seasons left at his age. And no one's going to begrudge Tom Brady for chasing money, no matter where it is in the NFL. So you have to be like, look, I played that game for my entire career for this organization. I don't owe you. You owe me. So 2 years of sucking because I'm going to make the most, I'm good with that. Let's suck, baby.
Go ahead, Nick.
Dare I say, though, and I have no proof of this, that when he took those pay cuts and took less money, that the Patriots have already made that up. That was years ago.
But you also won because of it. So that's my question to you guys, too, that I throw back at you is, okay, all fair and fine and good, but you guys are both Tom Brady. You're married to Giselle. You're never going to have to worry about money for about 100 lifetimes. And after you're done playing, you're probably going to roll in it anyway. Is it up to you? Is it on you to say, you know what, I'll do it again. I'll take less, which also from a public perspective makes you look like a hero even more. Or do you say, no, I'm finally getting what I'm worth? Because you're right. You brought up Kobe. Jordan did it too. Jordan insisted that one year that he make over $30 million, and it was way over what anybody else was making. So at a certain point, you go, you know what? Even if I don't need, I mean, do you still do it even if you don't need it?
Like give him the deal.
Demand demand the max you can get or a big deal.
Yeah.
I feel like Brady will.
Yeah, of course.
But then you can't be mad if you're not going to win.
Well, I don't think he would. At this point, I know he's competitive and he's going to go out there and beat. But hell, he's been out there with a bunch of scrubs, so to speak, anyways.
The thing is, they give the fan base.
Might as well get paid. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I totally agree with you. I think the fan base has to, you know, I think their test is, you're really going to put their fan base to the test in the event that there's no Tom Brady in a New England Patriot jersey. And I feel like that's really going to test their fan base. Will they go away? Will they still be there after the whole Brady Belichick era ends? I think that's really, really important. I still think, despite the fact that Tom Brady, because a lot of people, not a lot, some people make the argument that he's not the same and he may not be that quarterback to lead him to another Super Bowl. I still think he can get somewhere in the high 20s, even 30s.
Well,
just on past success. Well, even if he doesn't deserve
it. Done, not what he can do, but for correct. What he's done. Absolutely. And somebody texted and said, just franchise him. Ha ha. You can't.
You can't.
No, his deal.
He's free agent.
Part of his deal, even though he's never been franchised, part of his deal that he had signed with them said he can't be franchised. So that's not
he has the. I can see him having the leverage to put that in the contract.
Yeah. And sure. You think about it, Nick, because there are a few teams out there that are willing to take a chance on him. Because look, there were critics out there that said at the end of the year he wasn't throwing anything over 20 yards. There might be something wrong with his elbow. There might be something wrong with his shoulder. To our knowledge, nothing's been announced. He had any surgeries or did anything differently. But if you look at Indy, if you look at Tennessee, if you think that there's a guy that's like a coach on the field that is poised to utilize all your weapons to do something to take your team over the top, it's worth it to you to try and take that shot if you don't think what you have is enough in Jacoby Brissett or Ryan Tannehill.
The crazy thing is I saw an article that we have in our rundown where he's been in constant contact with Antonio Brown and that he wants to play with Brown. So now you've got to look at wherever he goes. Do they have enough money to sign him, whether it be New England or otherwise, and add Antonio Brown for the season and then deal with the craziness that is Antonio Brown to begin with.
That's interesting to me because how many reps have you gotten with Antonio Brown, Tom Brady?
Yeah, why would
they were doing extra
why would you
work
hit your wagon to that guy?
Well, that's the other thing. Now you limit one of your options because one of the main options is the Raiders. Not only did Antonio Brown wear out his welcome with the Raiders, he's now in the process of trying to sue them for the $27 million that they owe him.
And New England cut him. So
what's Tom going to go? Well, I'm coming, but AB's coming with me. Yeah. No, he's not. Mike Mayock ain't making that deal.
Well, I don't know. If you want Tom Brady, if it's a package deal, if you know you've got to go out and make a run at Antonio Brown.
You've already been through
that. Is it worth it?
Do it once. Who would you rather have next year,
Derek Carr or Tom Brady?
I think Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, Derek Carr doesn't have that leverage. He can't, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They could easily just move on.
Correct.
Or move him for a draft pick or whatever. Send him to another team that needs a QB.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
better off. The way Gruden is with QBs, though, Derek Carr might be better off anyway. Yeah. Get into a fresh environment. Because people forget, he was
trending in the right
quarterback
direction
a couple years ago. He was close to an MVP.
Under Jack Del Rio, he was.
True. Yes. Yeah. So, we'll see. All right, that's the first half hour of the 3 o'clock period of time. We've got 30 minutes still to go on the clock before we take it to the Blitz at 4. They'll take it till 7. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday in the big city. Have we reached our quota for the 3 o'clock hour already?
Yes.
Just based on the offensive lineman at the combine?
We got it in.
Don't disappoint me, Barry. You normally finish strong.
Well,
normally between 3:45 and 4, you drop at least
something
one
happens.
P-bomb.
And I swear to you, it's never planned.
I would actually verify that.
It is never planned that it happens like that. It just does. I don't know if it's just because we get rolling and then run out of sports topics and then we
it's
just
very go. Organic for sure. I mean, that's been the nature of our show from day one.
So. I know people think we plan it. It is not planned.
No.
There was I found it to be pretty interesting, a video that came out that I saw on Bro Bible where they talked with Redskins QB Dwayne Haskins about how he spent his first $1 million. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a dude that had an $8.5 million signing bonus, $3.6 million guaranteed over 4 years per year for 4 years. So you're looking at his first year in the NFL, he made upwards of $12 million. What was interesting is the very first thing he says in the video is, just so we're clear, we're going to talk about the first million, but I put 70% of my money into savings immediately when I got paid.
Which is good. Good
amazing. That's a good percentage.
Yes.
He's like 70%. He said, I have three accounts. One of them is savings. One of them is spending. And then he didn't say what the other one is. But he said 70% of my money that I got on my check and checks went into a savings account, which good for him.
Yes.
Great to hear. And he talked about his financial advisor said that. He also mentioned the fact that, man, when you get those checks, you think, ooh, $8.5 million signing bonus. Dude is, well, there's taxes, there's agents' fees, there's all these other fees and people you pay. He goes, you don't see that. So out of the first $1 million, this is how he spent his money. First thing he did, he bought a Bentley for $250K.
Not what I would do, but okay.
Then he bought his mom a house for $750K, but he didn't count that as his first million because what did he spend on himself with his first million?
Oh.
But he said he bought his mom a house for $750,000, paid cash. That's her house. So, but he wanted to point that out, but he said that didn't count towards his million. So he had $250K on a Bentley, $10K on vacation, $40,000 in jewelry, $10,000 in suits, another $40,000 in clothes, $10,000 on food.
So wait, $10,000 on suits, but you still need another $40,000 for the rest of your wardrobe?
Got to have that drip.
Oh, boy.
Now, he said he spent $10,000 on food, but it was one dinner. And he lost a bet with Deshaun Watson and several other people that he was working out with in the offseason. They were doing some sort of drill. They were being competitive. Loser has to pay for dinner. So he's like, yeah, that's fine. They all bet. It was like five of them. Well, the problem was is they all invited their friends and relatives. And before you know it, he said there was 20 people at this dinner that he had to pay for.
Yeah.
And it ended up being almost 10 grand with tip and everything.
I mean, Vince Young spends $5,000 a week at TGI Fridays, right?
He spent $10,000 in artwork. Okay.
Now, is that tattoos or is that framed artwork?
And then he didn't even count the money he had. Or maybe the $10,000 in food was the bet and rookies have to buy for his offensive line.
Yeah.
He had to, but he said that was money well spent. He goes, that's an investment. Those guys are underappreciated and they do all the work and, you know, they're the unsung hero.
Ass. Yeah.
And they protect him. So he said that was worth it. $10,000 in artwork, $50,000 to loved ones. He says, man, when you get this money, everyone hits you up, but you got to be smart and you got to learn how to say no. And I'm not just going to give money to people for no reason. He said, but my sister wanted to go to college, so I paid for her college.
That's awesome.
$50,000 paid for her college. So now you're at $450,000 up to that point. So it was a Bentley, vacation, jewelry, suits, clothes, food because of the bet and the alignment, artwork, and money on a loved one. And the other $550,000 went to taxes.
Ouch.
A lot.
Damn.
Damn you, so Uncle Sam.
First $1 million,
it's like a divorce.
$550K went to taxes.
More than half.
Yeah.
Man.
So we hear about all this money, but Uncle Sam gets his cut before Mama gets her house.
Anybody else. Yep.
Or but Bentley gets their money.
I'll be honest, though. Seeing some of those checks.
God, that just, I wouldn't even know what to do.
I remember Charles once, a couple times, said, hey, man, I forgot my check in my locker. Can you go grab it? Can you do this, whatever? And I'm just, and I grabbed it, and he's like, make sure it's not the per diem one. Make sure it's this one. And you look at just the commas, and you go, oh, my God.
I couldn't imagine.
And this is every 2 weeks?
What's even more intriguing to me about that is because we've kind of transitioned into a direct deposit era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're this dude who's waiting for that first big check. You got $12.36 in your bank account, and then all of a sudden you get a direct deposit.
You're a millionaire.
Like, yeah. You know what I mean? And that's the first time I really understood that perspective was when, I forgot which UFC fighter, but I went to a fight in either Austin or Dallas, and I drove up there. And a guy was like, man, before I came into this, before I even fought in this octagon, I was a waiter at an Austin restaurant and I had $12 and like 36 cents in my bank account. And then he got that paycheck, that fight paycheck. And remember, the UFC, they don't make nowhere near what a football player does. Mm-hmm. But it just changed his life because he's not living paycheck to paycheck. And all of a sudden, he checked his balance and it's like, you know, several thousand or even several million dollars more than what he had.
That's crazy. Yeah, I couldn't imagine. You go from being a college kid, because he talked about he paid off debt, but it was just overdue library
can't
money.
Can't believe libraries are still collecting on that.
Yeah, but he's like, yeah, so you just one day you just literally wake up, and of the $12 million, let's say you get five after taxes, but you're right, you've got $30 in the bank. The next day, you've got $5 million.
It's insane.
I would just I'll be tell like, you what,
the other side of that is that was really weird. They did a story here in Houston last week where a woman woke up to check her balance and it was negative $990 million.
Oh, hell no.
No.
And she called the bank and the first thing they said to her was, no, ma'am, that's not a mistake. Can you imagine what that would feel like? Just forget everything else. The minute you hear those words before any other words are spoken, you're like, what?
Be like, oh, hell yes, it is a mistake.
Evidently, her husband died.
No, who you think
within, like, a few weeks. And to make sure that no one else, and there was a mix-up in terms of who had access to the account and what would be done with it. So, for the safety of the people and whoever had right to that money, that's part of what the bank does to kind of scare people off. If they were able to find out the remaining balance on his account or anything like that, it said that so that it would scare people off into not thinking he had a lot. And then she had to prove that she was legally entitled to it. And then they actually would go in and tell her what the actual balance was.
Oh, that's crazy talk.
There's got to be a different way to do it.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like your credit, just lock it. Why does it have to show that? Like, why you got to give me a heart attack?
That's like me saying, that's okay, crazy. Remember when I said with Madison? So Madison's born. And someone, you know, steals her identity. And all of a sudden, we get a notice that says, Madison is in debt for $900 million. And you're like, come on, man, really? And then they go, no, really, that's true. And then when you dig down deeper and you give them the proper code and ID and everything to get into the account, they're like, oh, we just do that so people don't think that, like, I'll tell you, there's got to be a different way just saying this account is blocked,
right? Period. That would freak me out. What would you do, though? Your first million, what would you do? I mean, he's got Bentley vacation jewelry. Suits, clothes, food, artwork, and he helped out his loved ones.
The jewelry and the artwork, it's just not my style.
Yeah,
me too.
So I will say no to that. I would hit up the ATM first.
You would?
I would just get some cash. I'm like, I want some cash.
Really? I don't know that I would want to carry that around.
I know.
You just want to walk around with a stack of hundreds just to feel good?
I just
want to
make it rain. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
Just no, not really. But I just would. I always pay everything with plastic.
So your first grand is your first stack is going to strippers.
I wouldn't withdraw the entire amount, but I mean a portion of it could go to strippers.
Well, you're like, I'm just gonna get some cash and make it rain. Wow.
No, I would probably do the same thing. A lot of these other players, like Deshaun Watson. One of the first things he did, he bought a 2017 Jaguar for his
mom.
For his mom.
I would probably not. I feel like I wouldn't buy them anything, but I would pay off their debt for my parents.
Good pick. That's probably.
I wouldn't buy them a $750,000 home, but I would pay off their home and buy them or their cars, you know, or maybe buy
or
them
buy
a
them a modest home or maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, even just, but here, I'm going to pay off. Well, you got to remember now, I got split parents. I got a mom and a stepdad and a dad and a stepmom. So, yeah, well, that's I'll just pay off everybody's houses.
That's what puzzled me about his list. He bought his mom a house. Where's he living?
Maybe he's got an apartment.
Maybe a studio apartment. Yeah. I don't know.
It's not a studio apartment, but it's probably one of those on a high rise with, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. But that could be rent, not paid, which would still be crazy.
Because otherwise, I think the first thing I'm doing is I'm getting myself a house and then worrying about, like you said, if my relatives are in any kind of hard luck. Or
you're a single player and you're an athlete. You don't know if you're going to get traded. You don't want the headache of, you know, the lawn. I'm very, you know, he lives to do his lawn, but most people don't like to do landscape. You know what I mean?
The bigger
like,
question is job security. Do you have a long-term multi-year contract?
You can get traded.
Look at Haskins this year.
He's getting $3.5 million guaranteed over the next 4 years, no matter what. They can cut him
next
week.
Where he plays.
And he's going to get his full contract. So he's definitely knows what he's got.
NFL contracts aren't fully guaranteed.
His is fully guaranteed over four years.
Okay.
It's a fully guaranteed contract.
Okay.
It said so in the article because that's the one thing
reason,
I thought.
That's also the thing reason why he doesn't buy a house is a good thing. Because
he's a quarterback, it's believable. Yeah.
Well, but Nick, they're already saying, there's a rumor out there this morning, Ron Rivera says he's told Tua that we're not sure what we're doing with Haskins, but you could be the starting quarterback of the Redskins. If that's the case, then you don't lay down roots and buy a house because when it's if you're after 1 year, if you've already been shipped somewhere else, that's a pain in the rear end.
Yeah, I'm on spot track right now. Dwayne Haskins signed a 4-year, $14.4 million contract with the Redskins, including an $8.5 million signing bonus, $14 million guaranteed, and an average salary of $3.6 million.
It's believable. And then under contract notes, a quarterback, and it's really not that much money.
First round. And under contract notes, it says fully guaranteed, fifth-year option available. So. Yeah.
Well, at least football's changing a little bit too, because it used to be.
Yeah, they're starting to get more and more. But he's got a club option for 2023. So yeah, if they cut him, if they don't trade him, I mean, whatever happens, he's getting the full 14.
I mean, there's still the traditional contract where you're not guaranteed. A lot of it's set up to where you make a lot of it on the back end, and then they cut you, and then they cut you before it gets to those big years. We've seen this a million times before. It just doesn't necessarily happen to quarterbacks.
But he knows he's going to get that full amount, so he probably do buy a nice house.
Okay,
right.
Well, I mean, but again, you buy a nice house, but buy it like
cash.
Well, no, if you like, you're a Buckeye. If you love Columbus or wherever you call home, wherever you're from, buy it there. Don't buy it in the city you're playing. Because you don't know if you're going to be there for the full length of the contract.
That's a good point. You don't want to live there. Although real estate is an appreciating asset. So you pay cash for a home and you live there for
years. You know,
you're gonna that property is going to go up in value, not down like a car or a Bentley or whatever. So you pay $1 million for a home. You think in 3 years that home is going to be should be worth like $1.2 million. So you're going to flip it, and it might be worth more because you live there, and you're in that city. And Dwayne Haskins used to live here. Wow. Okay, we'll pay a little more money.
That's a selling point plus.
So then now instead of it, the market value might be 1.2. You get 1.3. You made 300K. Now you go pay $1 million. You put the 300K in the bank and buy a $1 million home in Ohio. So I could see that.
Well, the other difference is if you're James Harden, Russell Westbrook, or a big name player, it's easier for you to do those things. But if you're like just a roster spot or a rotational guy, you buy the house, like I said, where in a warm city or where you're from, where you want to retire, however you want to do it. But you go and have an apartment in the city you're playing in, because if you're traded midseason, you got to pick up your stuff and go, and you may not see wherever that place is again until the end of the year.
Yeah.
And that's a headache.
Yeah.
So we got one segment to go on the show. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, and turn it over to the Blitz next. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back. Final segment of the usual suspects, and then the Blitz takes over and takes you until 7 p.m. on your drive home and beyond. Fun show today.
It has been. Good time. Flew by.
Yeah, you can still tweet us. But don't text or call. We'll probably be done with that. But if you want to tweet us, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joe with a K, at the producer Nick. We were talking about money. You saw where Romo's getting $17 million a year from CBS.
Totally forgot about that, but yeah.
That's crazy. So now, as a backup plan, ESPN's going to have to figure out what they're going to do because they were going to make a run at him. I still say I want to see Peyton Manning in the booth. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that wouldn't hurt my feelings at all.
I honestly think Peyton Manning, no matter, I know he's doing these side shows for ESPN that are cool and all these other things, but at a certain point when you realize what are you going to do with the rest of your life, his knowledge of the game is so incredible. And when you think about, he can't make exactly what he was making as a player, But Romo, up until the final years of his career, making $17 million a year, Peyton's got to go, I mean, to work a day a week?
Yeah. I just, at some point, ESPN's going to have to throw money at him that's so crazy that he can't turn it down, because what is their alternative? What is plan B? It's never going to equal what Romo is. There's nothing out there other than Peyton Manning, you feel like.
And you also feel like there's certain people that think, that's below me. I made so much money and I killed it for so long playing that I don't want to be the guy that has to, you know, that looks for another career. I don't have to work. But you get bored.
Yeah.
And whether you capitalize on his football intelligence from, like, a lot of people said, well, that's why he won't coach, because it's below him, because you know, he would be more into the ownership. Well, you got to do something with the rest to pass the time.
Well, and Manning's already with ESPN with the Peyton's place.
That's
on
what
ESPN.
I was talking about.
Yeah. So he's it makes sense for them to say, all right, Romo got 17. We'll give you 18. Would that do the trick for you? And if you're Peyton Manning and you turn down $18 million a year to call games, you're an idiot.
Peyton, you wore 18 as a player. To give you 18
yeah,
a year
that's a
to work
point.
One day a week.
Take it. I mean, it's a little more than that. You know that. It's more work than one day a week. But still,
where are they getting this number
a year
from?
In retirement.
Where are they getting these numbers from? Is it the TV deals? Are they increasing in revenue? Well, is that why?
There's a lot that factors in.
I think they figure Romo is worth every penny because he gets so much.
I thought Gruden
press.
Was getting 10, wasn't he?
No, that's was his he? Coaching deal. That's his coaching
so
deal.
So he was getting less than 10.
Yeah. But here's also the way you have to figure it, because Monday Night Football has been struggling mightily, and they're looking for something to kind of resurrect the franchise. They tried the whole Witten and Booger thing and all these other things that just hasn't really caught on. And so when you think about it, Nick, when you say, where does the money come from? Well, you look at one, sponsor dollars probably increased.
Sure.
Ratings, for sure. And ratings definitely went up with the popularity of Tony Romo. And the side piece that people aren't talking about is social media.
Mm-hmm. And the pure publicity that he generates.
Yes, they monitored the articles and the social media and how many people were talking about, man, when he described what run pass option was, when he knew when the plays, what play was coming next, when he could pinpoint the defense, made me watching the game so yep. much more engaged in what was going on and feeling like I was a part of it. And that
you learn
they take
more.
Note about yeah. that.
Gruden was making 6.5 with ESPN before leaving for the Raiders.
I mean, that's just a big jump. I
Aikman
mean,
makes 7.5. So that'll tell you right there. I just don't think Aikman does that good of a job. I think Romo
But they're
is
the
just
number one
exceptional.
Team in yeah. the NFL. The Aikman, Joe Buck, whether you like him or hate him, that's the number one broadcast team in all of the NFL.
But I think if you're ESPN at this point, you lost Gruden, who was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look around and go, man, we didn't get Romo. You got to throw back the Brinks truck up. For Peyton Manning, what is it going to take? I want 20.
And honestly,
you got to consider that.
Well, as a network, they've lost their fastball across the board.
Sure.
Because when you think about whether you go back to Sunday Night Baseball when it was Joe Morgan and John Miller, but those guys had kind of an identity for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And so when they decided to call it quits or you move on, or even from a Chris Berman, and Stuart Scott unfortunately passes away, Van Pelt's a guy they put kind of their eggs in that basket to say he's going to be our guy. But they don't have multiples like they once did when they had Oberman, Dan Patrick, Berman, Stuart Scott, and they were passing the torch along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Monday Night Football, people, if you look at just comments over the last couple year or so, they've taken more hits because of Witten and the Booger Mobile and Booger this and all that other stuff than they have accolades for saying, God, that was innovative. Man, that technology was cool.
Yeah.
Boy, his insight was spot on. So it's different, and it seems like it's kind of passed them by because they're also strapped financially. We see all the layoffs. We know they paid way too much for networks like the Longhorn Network and other networks that haven't brought in any money like they thought it would.
Yeah, I think you've got to try to make a play to compete with what CBS is putting out there with Romo, because there's nothing like it. He's one of a kind, and I think you look around football. Other than Gruden, who was great, I would have actually had, if Gruden was still in the game, my 1-2 would be Romo and then Gruden as far as fun to listen to and, you know, knowledgeable and how they break down the game. And I feel like Peyton can do that because of the Peyton's place and mm-hmm. all those things. So,
and the Saturday Night Live aspect, he can still find a sense of humor. He can find some comedy in some things. He can get some guys to open up to him because of who he is when he goes and does one-on-ones and interviews and things for the game itself. and it upgrades the whole broadcast from start to finish.
Right. And Jason on Twitter said, don't forget, ESPN also lost best play-by-play in the business in Mike Tirico.
He was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and NBC paid him, and NBC was paying Dan Patrick. And you think about it. I mean, ESPN, it's not like, well, you're NBC and you've got the NFL. You don't have baseball. You don't have basketball. You don't have college basketball. So that's where you're going to put your money, right?
Right.
If you're CBS, aside from the NCAA tournament, what do you got?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so you're going to, at some point, you need that franchise type guy. And he's working with their other franchise, Jim Nance.
Yeah.
So, and look, if ESPN wasn't negotiating, CBS probably wouldn't have had to pay as much.
Yeah. And I think CBS took a run at one point, if not this time, previously at Peyton as well.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that it would behoove ESPN to make a move. Now, you know, you can't force Peyton to take any deal, but you might sit down and just ask, what's it going to take?
Even if you go internal, Ryan Clark to me would add so much more than Booger.
I agree.
Because he's in tune with social media. Yeah. He's funny. He's
younger.
He knows the sport. Yeah. He's hip.
You need a personality, and Booger's not that guy.
No.
His name is Booger.
And the Booger Mobile was their thing.
That was awful.
And all people did was bitch. It was in their way of seeing the game. And
hey, let's put something that blocks everybody's view. Yeah. Smart.
That's brilliant. Especially on TV. All right. We're in radio. So we're going to continue to do this the rest of the week. And hopefully you will too. But for Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. I'm out. We're out. We'll see you again tomorrow. It's Fred. It's AJ. It's Aaron. It's The Blitz. They're coming up next. ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.